Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Monday. Titans go down to Houston, and they get the 32-27 win over the Texans, surprising a lot of people. To talk more about that, we bring in Brett Kern, former Titans punter, who's on the line with us. Brett, we're talking about a win. How about that?
Yeah, there we go. I was really curious to see kind of how this game would play out because, you have Houston and Tennessee are both 2 and 3 respectively in penalties on the year and sacks given up. Titans are third and Houston's fourth. And so those two things just to kind of see, and also Will Anderson versus Latham. I think that's something that Titans fans, going forward, that's a matchup that you're going to see probably for a long time potentially. And so what did that look like? So there's a lot of penalties. Thankfully the Titans, only got 6. Hey, we're down, right? We're down on the average. 50% of them were pre-snap compared to 11 penalties from Houston, which I think is going to be their Achilles heel going forward. That's a lot. That's a lot of penalties. Baltimore's kind of the same way. I could see them kind of having that Achilles heel with penalties. You look at like Kansas City, Philly, Buffalo, probably your top tier teams. They're all top 10 ish in least amount of penalties. So it was pretty crazy yesterday. Enough for Houston's, a penalty and an illegal shift to take away a touchdown from Nico Collins and instead lead to the Kaimi Fairbairn missed 28-yarder, which we'll take it. So
yeah, you'll take it any way you can get it. What's kind of been your if you look over the last 3 games, I guess since Levis is back, I feel like Levis has played a lot better, even in the losses.
Yes.
But I also think the play calling's been better, too. Do you think that Brian Callahan has come more into his own as a play caller now?
I think so. I mean, this is his first year calling plays, right? And so it's not something that he's going to be able to all of a sudden game one be like, man, this guy, he's a wizard in calling plays. Like, it'll take him some time, right, to understand, certain calls, when to call them, how to call them. It's just, it's something that you learn as you go, right? And so I definitely agree with that. Like, I feel like Levis over the past 3 games, you look at, 123 QB rating yesterday to Stroud, 78. Yeah, the pick, was that great? No, but Stroud had 2 very bad throws that led to interceptions as well. So I'm sure you could ask Will, what would you do differently? And he would love to have that one back, right? I just feel like, why not? We were having conversations earlier about Levis, since he's the guy. Well, play him. What do you have to lose at this point, right? To see what he can do. Can he grow into the position, right? Can he learn from some of the mistakes that he's making? And I feel like he is growing. Yeah, there's still things that he needs to work on and get better at. But, there's definitely been improvement to the point where you're like, okay, hey, when the draft comes around next year, we have a quarterback that's making $915,000, right, and a $2.1 million cap hit. Is that good enough for him to play next year so that we can now, in turn, hit the draft and get, some offensive alignment or depth or, whatever, our positions that need and, and start building your team that way?
Former Toledo Rockets punter Brett Kern with us today. Brett, they're going to a bowl. Congratulations, Toledo.
I know. They'll probably go to the bowl that changes every year name, so I don't even know which one it would be.
That's right. They're going to the bowl, so congratulations. Look, I'm glad you're on today. It happened again. Your guy is out kicking. I saw one yesterday. I think it was 18 yards. By the time the returner got the ball, I saw somebody enter the screen. We're going to have to work on this. He's a great punter, Brett, but my goodness, he is out kicking that coverage.
Yeah, I think, too, early with the blocks that were going on and stuff like that, I think he was obviously asked because his get-off time has dropped substantially. And a lot of times when you're asked to get the ball off quickly, you're not really doing your normal. If you can kind of tell when he's punting, he's more of just like punching it out. Like, hey, I'm going to catch it, get it off quick, right? I'm trying to think of another analogy, in sports, right? Maybe when you're trying to throw, a baseball, you kind of have to do something quick compared to if you can crow hop it, right, from outfield and throw somebody out at home plate. You know, I think when he's just trying to get it off quick, he's just trying to get it off. And so when you take your normal steps, you can kind of get up and through it, get a little bit more hang time. You know, if you watch Townsend yesterday, you know, he's coming up and through it. Well, he's got the time to be able to do that. And when Stonehouse is back there trying to get it off, you know, you're have a tendency if you're just going to get him out there, they're going to be lower in hang time. Probably can't put the direction on it that he wants to. So, but you know, I feel like protection has been a lot better for them. So at some point, especially now with the weather getting colder, which you can see it affects special teams across the whole league. This is that time of year, you know, November rolls around, you know, obviously December, January, special teams starts looking a little different. And so, you know, hang time is going to be of a premium here as it gets colder.
I was talking to our producer, Dr. Crane, about the return, the first play of the game for the Texans. I'm trying to figure out if that was a design play. It looks like they all ran to, like, the middle, and it caused this confusion because everybody collapsed at the one point, and he bounced outside. Am I wrong about this?
Yeah, they called that return is called the Little League soccer return, where the ball's in the middle and everybody jams up together and hopes somebody makes a play.
Right. It worked.
Well, I don't think it was by design. I think, you know, it was supposed to be middle return, and then you have Mike Brown, who's your contained safety. He comes down way too far inside, so now he's literally over that pile, right? So he's lost leverage. And so, you know, I think there was one of, you know, they watched it in slow-mo, and Jay Feely did a great job of explaining it. But, like, Otis Reese, I don't know what was going on, because he looked like he was tackling somebody, but it was the guy that was blocking him, and he just dives right into the pile. And you know, Pierce is not even, you know, he's 2 yards away from him. I'm thinking, what? No, you're supposed to try to tackle the returner. And so he just, like, adds onto the pile. And so, because, you know, Brown lost leverage and contained, Pierce wasn't tackled yet. So he's like, well, I'll just, you know, I'm a running back. I'll just bounce this thing outside. And at that point, you lost contain. Now you're trying to get out there and make the tackle. There's a blocker there for him, takes him out. Big return. So I don't think that was by design. I just think that you know, that's where the return was supposed to go. There was a pileup. Nobody from the Titans tackled him. Lost leverage outside. Boom, big return.
Oh, my goodness.
I will say this, though. Like, for that start to happen, I think we all know, you know, I was watching the game, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, big return, touchdown, great. What's going to happen now? Titans in Houston. This is not great. How do they respond? Well, they get 17 unanswered points, which – you know, I think was a really, really big sign for them to see that, to be able to do that in Houston on the road against a team that's, you know, a playoff team, probably going to win the division. That was pretty impressive.
Oh, absolutely. Let me ask you this. You've held for many, many field goals that have been important, field goals in the first quarter, not important, missed field goals, whatever. Fairbear misses the chip shot yesterday. Is there more pressure, Brett, on that kick than, say, a 58-yarder? Because if you miss a 58-yarder, it's like, hey, well, that was 58 yards. But a 24-yarder, I mean, there's no reason he should have missed that yesterday, right?
No, I mean, here's the other thing, too, though. If you're going for a 58-yarder, in the back of your head is also, if I miss this, the other team gets a really good field position. So there's that element to it. You know, you see Aubrey in Dallas, I think last week he tried a 64-yarder. I mean, I can't imagine trying a 64-yarder, you miss it, and then all of a sudden you're starting, you know, on the other side of midfield.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, 46 yards, and you know, you're in for a touchdown. And so there's that element, too, with the long field goal. But, yeah, I mean, the 28-yarder for him, he's a great kicker. You know, I'd say he's, you know, probably top five in the league. And for him to miss that is like you know, Scottie Scheffler missing a 3-foot putt, which happens, right? I mean, a guy of Scottie's caliber could go 99 out of 100, you know, on 3-foot putts. And so, you know, I think if Fairbairn, if you gave him 100 kicks from inside 30, he's going to make 99 of them. And so, you know, it just looked like he kind of stabbed at it a little bit. You know, toe kind of came up, kind of hit a little bit high in the ball. You know, same thing happened in Washington. It's just, you know, it's that stuff happens, and you know, that's why you play. That's why you have guys go kick. I mean, there's elements of human error that happen, and you know, but hey, worked out for the Titans.
How can, you know, this is, I don't know if this is a simple question with a complex answer or what, but how can they build off this? I know it's one win, but I feel like sometimes one win can change a season, especially when you have a quarterback that really needed that confidence boost.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you go back to, being down 7-0 early in Houston, and you respond with 17 unanswered points. And, yeah, you have three turnovers. One of them was a pick six, not great. One of them's a bad handoff, not great. The other one's a muff punt, but you also had two interceptions. You were able to get after C.J. Stroud and confuse him, and get four sacks. For a team that's bottom third in the league in getting sacks. And so you cut down on your penalties, right? Penalties that weren't necessarily ones that were just – I mean, you look at how Houston and the penalties that they had. Like I said, they had a penalty that took away a touchdown that would have won the game for them potentially, right? Or at least you would have put Will and the offense in a spot to where, hey, we have to go down and score, right, because we're down four. But instead, illegal shift calls them back, right? And I feel like before, that's us talking about the Titans, about all these penalties. So now they're down to six. That's improvement, right? To go on the road, get a win, especially with the pressure. I don't think a lot of people understand the pressure of going down. Every coach that I've been with always had that speech. Hey, we're going down to Houston. You know what this game means to ownership. Every game's important, but this one means that much more. You're going down to Houston where we were the Oilers, all that kind of stuff. And so there's just a little bit more pressure going down there and playing in that game. And so here you are, like you put a really good game together. You were able to respond multiple times. Was it great for Will to get sacked a bunch of times? No, but the way I look at it, half of them were sacks of, -1, -2 yards where if they were blocking, the O-line was blocking just a tenth of a second longer, he's probably going through and getting 5, 6, 7 yards, of yardage of gain. Right. And so, but instead he gets sacked, a yard or two behind the line of scrimmage. Not great, but compared to the ones where you're -9, -10, you look at the end of the second half, a -9 and a -10 yard sack instead of a 40 some yard field goal. Now you're asking Nick Folk to bury a 56 yarder, which he did. And so little things like that, but you look at Washington, they're kind of reeling a little bit. They had a great start. They're not playing as well, tough loss, Philly. Now you got the loss to the Cowboys. And so here you are, Titans going up to Washington. You really have nothing to lose. You're coming off a great win. You're really coming off of some really good performances, especially from Will. And, what do you have to lose, right? And so why not go up to Washington and play a team that's struggling a little bit and get a dub?
What, Brett, real quick before you go, what's the one punt you had blocked that still bugs you to this day?
All of them.
That's what I thought he would say.
All of them. Thankfully, some of the worst punts that I had blocked were in preseason, so they didn't count. But, even the ones that returned for a touchdown. I remember at Houston, Will Fuller, right? I was supposed to go left, went left, had a little duck hook on it, and they just did a field return. And they blocked it great. It's just, all that stuff I remember like it was yesterday. The block punts, the couple that were returned for a touchdown. And, I've been out of the league for almost 2 years, and that stuff still bothers me.
Well, and that's what we love about you. Brett, appreciate the time as always. Have a happy Thanksgiving with you and the family. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. You all have a great Thanksgiving week, and we'll see you next week.
All right, Brett Curran, former Titans punter, joining us here on the show as he does every week. We'll continue to take your reaction. Titans win, 615-737-1025. It's Chase and Big Joe, 1025-1063 The Game.